Certainly thankful for the prayer that Brother Dwayne offered this morning. Would ask for a continuation of your prayers as I try to speak from the word of the Lord, that God's word might have free course and that it might be beneficial unto thy people. You know, the Bible speaks to us of something called the truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Truth is something that applies to every one of us. We base what we do in life, how we go along in life, on truth from some angle. You know, there was a time in the book of Judges when there was no king in Israel, and every man done that was right in his own eyes. Today, I believe that what we have in the 66 books that make up the canon of Scripture, we have the only truth that we can base life on. Now, there are those that will argue that today. Philosophy is big. The teachings of men are big. The ideas of the world are big, and the Bible deals with that. The Bible actually tells us. Today, I hope to some degree to validate the truth of God's word by the history that we have of events that have already passed, but also it tells us of the things we can expect going forward. You know, the Lord blessed us with the Bible. Many, many, many books have been written down through time that don't exist today. They're not written anymore. They're out of publication. But for some reason, this book called the Bible is here today and always will. But you know why that is? Because God said, my words will be preserved forever. God is the one who preserves his word. The book is the book of wisdom, some would call. When we think about faith or truth, we base what we believe on something. Everybody does, whether they acknowledge it or not. There's not a person in society that doesn't have a basis for their truth or what they believe, that doesn't have a measurement of truth. That's of God's moral law. God set the moral law and the moral standard. All truth should be subject to God's law, at least from my perspective. That's where truth is found, in the Word of God, and it is the only thing that we can use. We as Primitive Baptists believe that the 66 books of the Bible and the Old and New Testament are our only rule of faith and practice. Because we believe that God is true. We're told in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. We serve a God that cannot lie. It goes against his attributes, his character. So when you read in God's word that he declared the end from the beginning, you can be sure that he did. We serve a God who's unchanging. He said in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, and that'd be us, are not consumed. We're told in Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. We bring that point up because we as human beings live in this perimeter that God set up called time. Time begins when you're born and time stops when you die. Within this boundary of time, there's ongoing changes. I mean, there are many changes that you have no control over. Just look in the mirror. Take a picture of yourself today and 10 years down the road, look in the mirror and see what you look like. There are changes taking place that you have no control over. You can't control the weather. But there are changes that we do have some control over. My whole point is we evolve as human beings within this boundary of change. But God is eternal. Change means nothing to God because he lives outside the boundaries of time. He created those boundaries. You can go to Acts chapter 17 and we'll not go there. But that is our boundaries. You know, that's what the greatest blessing to me about heaven, and I've told this to a lot of folks, is, and I was telling Sister Jamie after lunch the other day, we was kind of joking around, but I told her that she needed to get her hair done just like she wanted when she went to heaven, because there wasn't never be any change from there on. We're not going to change anymore. I mean, think about it. However you are in heaven, you will never change. Bible tells us that we'll be happy and we'll be joyful and we won't have hard feelings and we won't shed any more tears. That's why we can count upon Almighty God, because he doesn't change. You know, God views sin today the same he did when he wrote the Ten Commandments. There's no difference. This change is evident in our lives. Even though we don't like it, we are all sinners and we've all come short of the glory of God. There's no doubt about that. We've all come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. But that doesn't give us an excuse to sin. We ought to strive to walk as righteous as we can, even though we can't live a life sinless here on this earth. We can't. But I tell you, our lives should be based upon God's truth. As God's children, serving a God that cannot lie, the promises that he gives us in his word are important. So we base our life on belief. You know, sometimes man wants to be his own law and his own God. We see that among the children of Israel. Man has decided that he knows better than God. And he perceives to go forward in life doing those things that he loves, even if it's not in harmony with the teachings of God's word. So this morning, what I want to look at, I'm not looking at the truth of salvation by grace. I'm looking at the overall truth of God's word and what God says about where we can end up. It's validating the truth of God's word. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I want to make some points here before we move over into the Old Testament. He said to Timothy, Paul did, he said, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and in his kingdom. Now, oftentimes when a minister is ordained to the ministry, he's given a charge at his ordination. But I'm going to tell you, there's an application here to every child of God. There's a charge given to every child of God. Think about that, and that means. And he says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, with instruction. Preach. Now, everybody here would say, I'm not a preacher. But you know you are a preacher. And I'm going to tell you how you are one. You are a walking, living sermon. And everything you do is an example unto someone else. To the little children, to the older adults. The way you conduct your life is a living, walking, breathing sermon out here in the world to the glory of Almighty God. We're told to let our light so shine before other men that others, seeing our good works, might glorify who? Our Father, which art in heaven. So we are, whether you believe you were called to preach or not, your life is a sermon that's preached day in and day out by the way you live, by the way you honor God and conduct yourself, by what you do to strive to honor him. You know, we were told in Proverbs, book of Proverbs, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, the world's full of wisdom, and today we live in a time where people have taken and soaked up the world. You know, Paul told Timothy, he said, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. You know, I can consider from the time that I was a child going to church and what I remember of it, we're out of season today in comparison to those times back in the 60s. There's no doubt in my mind. This is a season. But Paul encouraged Timothy to stay the road, to keep the faith, and not to waver as many of God's people will. And we'll see that. And it's happened. This is nothing new. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. That's the truth. You know, a lot of people live today and they look at someone old like me and they think I'm out of touch and I'm out of time. You just don't know what's going on in the world. You don't know how it is. This is how society is today. But Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. You know, he says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Jeremiah did, and that has never changed. Our hearts will deceive us time and time again, even to God's children down through the journey of life. It's no different today than it was thousands of years ago when Jeremiah penned those words. We are out of season. There's been many times throughout the course of history that God's people have been out of season and they fell under the hand of God's judgment. So preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. I think we're out of season, but let's think about what God said over there in Proverbs chapter 10. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. I'm going to tell you, the world believes that you're going to get the knowledge of life out here in the world. by what others do, what others say, the philosophies and all the things going on. But the Bible tells me if you want to understand life, it's through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, through the knowledge of the Holy One. That's what it's through. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Furthermore, you will find that it tells us over in Proverbs chapter 1 that a wise man will hear and increase in learning. In other words, it doesn't mean he'll just hear it and go in one ear and out the other. It'll have some benefit to him. He says a man of understanding will seek wise counsel. He will seek those that have tread those roads before. You know, no matter what age you were born in, we've all gone through the same thing. As young people, we always thought the older people didn't know anything. They didn't know where we was. They didn't know where they were out of touch. And I'll tell you, you can go back and talk to any older person in here when they were young and thought the same thing a young person think today. That's just the human nature we have as people. But once in a while, you'll cross the paths of really wise people who really get the grip of what life really is. And a lot of that comes from the fact that they don't only hear words, they actually pay great and valid attention to those words, and they seek wise counsel because they know somebody has tread those paths that they're now treading. That's what makes them wise over many people. But I don't believe there's a lot of those, but that's where we need to understand. That's where we understand that God's truth is so valuable. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, he says, "For the time will come." Now, Paul's telling Timothy, and this is something that's already happened and something that happened likely in Timothy's life, but will happen again. He says, "For the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine." They will not endure good, strong, and healthy teaching. They just won't. They're caught up in the world. You know, Paul said, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." But that's a hard thing to do because all of us, or at least I was, all of us are followers of the crowd. What everybody is doing is bound to be right. Is that not true? If they're doing it, it's bound to be the right thing. You know, the Bible says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate." I declare that to be the hardest verse in the Bible. Because generally, if you come out and be separate, you're not going to be doing what everybody else does. And that's what you have to do to honor God, honestly. That's what we have to do. We have to be separate from the mainstream. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. That's talking about God's children. You know, and sometimes as we were when we were young children and our parents were very merciful to us, they didn't strike us with the rod of correction nearly as often as we deserved it. They were merciful to us. God is long-suffering. We're told in 2 Peter chapter 3, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." See, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, "Shall we continue in sin that we might receive more grace?" God forbid. How can we who are dead to sin live in there anymore? I mean, continue there. Continue in it. Well, we can't become sinless, but we can strive every day to do what God would have us do to honor him. Now, he said, "The time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables," to false teachings, things that are not correct and things that are not right. Paul warned Timothy that that day was coming. I believe that day is here today, and I believe that day's been in the past. I want to go back and I want to look at some things that happened to the children of Israel. These are events that have already passed. They're not something that was made up that didn't pass. Let's look first at what happened in Isaiah chapter 59. In Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 4, it says, "None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity," which vanity always means emptiness. It means man's way. When you read the book of Ecclesiastes, which I would encourage everyone, young and old alike, to read that book, because the theme of Ecclesiastes is the meaning of life. And Solomon we were told in the Bible, had more wisdom than any man that came before him or any man that would ever come after him, save the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the blessing that God gave to Solomon. Solomon says, what profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? He says it's vanity, it's emptiness, it's nothing. And what he means by under the sun, what profit do we have here in this life apart from God? God is above the sun. He said there is none. And I tell you, Solomon went out there, if you read that book, and he done it all. We said a while ago that God is long-suffering, not willing that any of us should perish. See, it's not God's desire for you to be punished. That's what he's talking about there, because Jesus said in John 10, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. That's the eternal security of the saints. We're also told in Galatians chapter 6, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. You know, there comes a point in time that God gives us ground to repent. He's long-suffering toward us. He's patient. But there comes a time that God gives up on the patience and he brings chastisement upon his people. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son that he receiveth. If you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then the Bible says you're not sons, but you're bastards, which means you're illegitimate children. You're not his. In other words, as bad as you hate to be chastised, even as bad as you hated mom and dad to chastise you, it's one of the greatest blessings you have in this life, because you know God dealeth with you as with a son. He that spareth the rod hates his son. We're told in Proverbs 13 and 24. He that spares the rod hates his son. The greatest act of love is that you will discipline your children when you raise them. You will do what's right. You won't pat them on the shoulder and say, this is okay. You know, I've used this so many times, and they don't advertise it anymore, but there was a commercial come on TV for many, many years that said, friends don't let friends drive drunk. What that really means is you don't pat them on the shoulder. You tell them the hard things, the difficult things, because you truly love them and you truly care for them. That's what a real friend is. A real friend is not someone that pats you on the back and just says it'll be all right. He that spareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth them chasteneth betimes. Aren't you thankful God loves you enough to chasten you? We don't like chastisement, but we know that God, we're his child. One of the greatest assurances that you have that you're a child of God is he chastens you. Job 21 tells us that the rod of God is not upon the wicked. Those who are not God's chosen, those who are not God's elect, they're reserved to the day of destruction. You go read Job 21 and it's very clear, very clear. We go back over here to Isaiah 59 and verse 13. It says, in transgressions and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward. And justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity or integrity cannot enter. This is something that went on in the day of Isaiah the prophet among the children of God. When Solomon told us that there's nothing new under the sun, he's not dealing with about the fact that they rode a mule or walked and we ride in a plane now. I had nothing to do. He's talking about the inner workings of the heart and the mind of a human being. That's what he's dealing with. God is not concerned and he's not surprised at the evolution of modernization that we have today. And because we all get caught up in the world that we live in today, we think it's so much different than the world of past, but it's really not. Men and women are born, they're of the same mind and the same heart. And unfortunately, we're sinners just like they was. We've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us. God is merciful more times than we can possibly imagine. He says, yea, truth faileth, and he departeth from an evil, maketh himself a prey. He that departs from evil maketh himself a prey, and the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. Now, I said today we want to validate the truth of God's word. Because I believe every one of us, We believe in something for a reason. There's something that underlies our belief. With me, it's the Word of God. The Bible says that we're never, in Luke 14, we are never to put our family, our spouses, our children, or anyone before the Lord. And if we do, we are not worthy of God Almighty. Now, it didn't say not to love your spouses or your children, but you're never to love them more than you love the Lord. The Lord's always to be first in your life. As we go to Isaiah chapter 5, this is a condition that the children of Israel found themselves in. And Isaiah prophesies these teachings to us. Verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter sweet for sweet and sweet for bitter. In other words, these folks had gotten to the point they had decided that what they were doing, regardless of what God said about it, whether God said it was a transgression or not, they enjoyed it and they called it good. Now, is it possible that you and I could fall into that condition this day and time? Sometimes we read the history of God's word. It's already happened. This is not a prophecy. This is what already happened. And we think, well, we could never be like that. But I believe we see that today in the life we're living right here. I believe that's the times that we're living in, at least we've begun in. It says, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. You know, wisdom is something that men have always thought they had. But we're told in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that they're ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. They're reading, they're studying, they're getting this degree and they're getting that degree. But when it comes to life, what life is really about, they never get it. It's all about the knowledge of this man or that man. But I tell you, God is the God of all wisdom. And regardless of what you and I may think, his truth will stand forever. He said in Matthew 24, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. He told Satan, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God is to be our leader. God is to be our instructor. And I know we fall short, but every day that we wake up, it should be to wake up and to honor God in however I live, however I treat other folks. It's laid out in the truth of God's word. There's not a better book in the world to read. Proverbs and Ecclesiastes are two of the greatest books, even though all the books of the Bible are great. He goes on and he says, verse 22, woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteous of the righteousness from him. You know, sometimes God's people believe that they're not wicked. But when the Bible says evil or wicked, it speaks to any sin, any unrighteous act toward God. That's a transgression. You know, it says in James chapter 2, if you're a respecter of persons, if you think more highly of someone than another one, you've committed sin. And that doesn't seem bad to us, but I tell you, if you go to heaven, if you're heaven bound, that sin had to be paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can list them out any way we want to, but all your sins have to be put away by the blood of Christ, or you won't be going to heaven. He goes on and it says, therefore, as a fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the shaft, so their roots shall be as rottenness, and their blossoms shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord. What happened to these folks? They forsake the word of God. It didn't mean anything to them. They decided that they would go their own way and do their own thing. Like I said, this is the things that we see today are things that have passed. And there's nothing new under the sun, just like Solomon said. He said, therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people. Not against the wicked, against his people. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 30 as we continue looking at and validating God's word or God's truth, I believe, because these are events and these are the conditions that God's people got into after they crossed over into the land of Canaan, in a land that flowed with milk and honey. You see, God gave these folks this land. He run the enemy out. These grapes were growing. These crops were growing. I mean, they were fed and they didn't have to plant them. They didn't have to till them. They were there. That was the greatness of the promised land, which has reference to heaven when we go, but this was reality with the children of Israel. You know, I preached on that several Sundays ago when it talked about all those that came out of Egypt. They were 11 days, 200-something miles from the promised land, and because of unbelief and murmuring against God because of their conditions, they roamed around in that desert for 40 years, and every one of them died because God said that's what's going to happen to them. You know, that tells me that when we are apart from God, that can be the punishment God can send us to at some time, is to live in this world and be miserable until our time is done. It doesn't mean you won't go to heaven, but none of us want to live in a state of misery. I don't believe. You know, Jesus said, I come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. He's not talking about eternal life, because in that same verse, he said, the thief, being Satan, cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy. Satan can rob your joy. He can kill your peace, and you can live your life as a breathing human being like you're destroyed. Not have any happiness, not have any joy. There's something to be said about the meaning of life. And if you want to know what the meaning of life is, you find it in God's word. In Isaiah chapter 30, we find this condition continue to be presented. It says, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. This is a people that had gotten to the point that they didn't want any counsel of God. They didn't want to understand how things were going to happen, what things were going on in life. It says, but not of me, and they cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. They walk to go down to Egypt. Egypt always represents the world, and the Bible always teaches us when you're going down, you're going into the world to seek the counsel and the advice and the determination of what you're supposed to do in life. That walk to go down to Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, in the strength of the world, in the philosophies of the world. That's exactly what these people were doing. They had forsaken the word of the Lord. And it gets worse. And to trust in the shadow of Egypt, which means they're distrusting in the philosophies and the wisdom of this world. He goes to verse 7. It says, for the Egyptians shall help in vain. They're going to claim to help, but their help will be vanity. It'll be emptiness. It won't be of any benefit. And to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to set still. Now notice what he says. Go. Now go, write it before them in a table. And note it in a book. Note it in a book. That it may be forever. The time to come forever and ever. In other words, what you're fixing to read here, and the condition these people got in, this is a warning that God said will be preserved down forever, that we ought to be taking heed to. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. And friends, we're not completely departed from there. If you look at the church from the time of Jerusalem to where it's moved, if the Lord doesn't come back, I believe the day will happen in the United States of America where we'll raise up a generation that knows not God, and the church will not even be here. Because that's how it's happened in the past. This is not new. This is not an experiment. This is not a surprise to the Lord. Notice what it says. Which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not to us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophecy deceit. In other words, if you can't preach what I want to hear and tell me what I want you to say, say nothing at all. That's what these people wanted. And then he says, get ye out of the way. Turn. This is the saddest part of it. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ, to cease from before us. Boy, I'll tell you what, it's amazing where the heart of man can go apart from God's word. These people said, put the Lord aside, get him out of our way, don't throw him in my face. I don't want nothing to do with him. It's a hindrance to the way I want to live my life, to the things that I want to do. I mean, I want to go out and I want to look at the wisdom of this world. They're telling me how to live and how to conduct myself. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. We are the temple because the Spirit of God dwells within us. Let no man deceive himself. Let no man deceive himself. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. He goes on, if any man among you seem to be wise in this world with worldly wisdom, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own counsel. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain, they are empty. You know, that's where the world is. That's the thoughts they have. And time's moving along, and I want to move back to the New Testament, and I want to go to Romans chapter 1 and bring forth some thoughts of how this condition, Paul said, can happen again. We've seen the children of Israel, and this wasn't something that might happen. This is the things that happened to those folks. They called evil good and good evil, just like they did in the day of Judges before the first prophet Samuel. There was no king in Israel, and every man done that was right in his own eyes. He was a law to himself. He was a god to himself. You know, the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before thee. And that means self. That's the first of all the Ten Commandments. But when we get over here to Romans chapter 1, we begin at verse 17. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. The Bible tells us that there's not a man living that didn't know there's a God in heaven. I don't care what he says. That's what the Bible says. For the invisible things of him, in other words, we don't see God with the naked eye. The invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. In other words, when we see the earth rotate on its axis, we see a year go by and the seasons change. We see the grandeur of his beautiful creation. We know that there's a God in heaven. It wasn't two rocks that hit and evolution came and all of a sudden here we are and there that is. There is a creator in heaven and he's the only true and living God. That is who we serve. And we're without excuse. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. This is what God done to these folks. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like corruptible man. This has always been a problem. You know, I talked a few moments ago about you and I living within the boundaries of time. And we can't get out of those boundaries till we die. And so many people want to think of God in the terms of the human mind. You can forget it. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts and his ways are higher than our ways, saith the Lord, Isaiah 55. He is eternal. God has never not existed. And you and I, with our finite minds, cannot embrace this infinite being. We take what he says to be true. You know, I've told folks when I preached, I said, God has always been. He never had a beginning point. I don't have the circuits to compute that. I don't. But I believe it because he said it. That's what makes him God. What these folks are you going to see they're doing, they're bringing God down to man's level. They think God ought to be like they think. God's not like that. That's why when it said that God loved Jacob and he hated Esau, the next question that was asked, is there any unrighteousness with God? God forbid. God has the right to do with his creation what he wants, and there's no unrighteousness in it whatsoever. He says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, and neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like to corruptible man, and to the birds, and the four-footed beast, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them to an uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. This is where it always starts with human beings. They changed the truth of God into a lie regardless. When we talked about the children of Israel back in Isaiah chapter 5 that said good, evil was good and good was evil, they changed the truth of God into a lie. They changed the truth of God into a lie and they worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. In other words, they honored and worshiped themselves because this is what they wanted. And they disregarded God. And they decided what was right based upon what they thought. He says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause God gave them unto vile affections, for even the women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men working that which unseemly and receiving themselves that recompense and the error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. You know, there's something about us human beings. If we're a child of God, regardless of what we're doing and how much we may be sinning, we know when something's wrong. But you know, the way to get around that is to do the best you can not to retain God in your minds, not to keep him there where you ought to have him. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That's probably one of the most saddest verses in the Bible. God gave these people over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteous, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, on and on, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud. You know, we may not fall into all those categories, but like I said, sin is sin. God has never changed. In God's view of sin today, it's the same it was 6,000 years ago. It's no different. We may have evolved and we may have changed as human beings, but God has not changed. And that's what makes God God. That's what gives us hope. That's how we have a hope that this God's promises are going to be, that we're going to live with him in heaven, and this will no longer be the troubles that we face in life. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, impeccable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, they that which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. In other words, they have pleasure in the fact that they got a whole bunch of folks doing the same thing around them. You know, some people will tell you that they're glad not to be the only person in the boat when they know the boat's going to sink. Somehow we feel better if there's a lot of folks in there that's going to sink with us. I don't know how that makes us feel better, but it just does. You know, you don't want to stand out and be alone. You don't want to be the only one that sinks. And you think, well, if this is wrong, there'll be a lot of folks sink with me. But that's exactly what they said. We're going to go back to 2 Timothy, and we're going to close our comments. Now, we looked at some events in the Old Testament. We could have looked at a lot more of things that took place in life. Back over here, Paul was told Timothy, he says, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. We need to make full proof of all things, even if you're not a minister of the gospel, but you're a child of God, one who believes in the faith. But let's notice in chapter 3 the things that Paul told Timothy that he could expect to come and that I think you and I can expect to come. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Perilous means very difficult times and possibly very dangerous times. I think that, in my opinion, the dangerous times is God's going to bring judgment upon our land and upon his people. And times are not going to be the way that you and I have always known them to be, you know. He begins by saying, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Well, I think we live in a country that's absolutely the truth. I mean, and it's always been, our human nature is to love ourselves. You know, that's the greatest problem with a marriage. And I preached on marriage, is the inability to sacrifice individual wants for the good of the marriage. 99% of the time is the downfall of a marriage. You got to love somebody enough that you're willing to give up just as they are. Jesus loved you enough that he gave up all he had in glory with the Father, and he came down here and he took your sins upon him. It's called unconditional love. But love of one's own self has always been a tremendous problem with God's children. It says, they shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, saying things against God, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. I want to pause a minute about being unthankful. The Bible commands us to be thankful. But I believe, and I have a tendency not to mention the person, but there's someone in here that I'm very close to that sees it the same way I do. I believe we live in the most unthankful and ungrateful nation upon the earth. We've been blessed above all people in this world. I tell you, if God's people are as thankful and grateful as they ought to be, there wouldn't be a seat left in this auditorium every Sunday morning. I know that. For no other reason. If you came here and you say, well, I'm not coming, I don't like the preacher, I don't like the message, I don't like the people. If you come to church for the right reason and you're truly thankful that you live in America, that God blessed you to live here than still in the Philippines I went to, or Africa, or some other place, because you wasn't better than the next person. None of us were. The people of this country are unthankful and they're ungrateful. If they wouldn't, every seat in this house would be full every Sunday, just out of the fact that they were so thankful for God, to God, for what they had and what God had given them. You see, your children, your jobs, whatever you have, wherever you're at, all the glory goes to God. If he had not blessed you, even in spite of us not blessing him. You know, Brother Darrell said something this morning to me. He said, we sit there talking. He said, why do you think people come to church? And we had a number of reasons we brought up. And he talked about that song, Stand By Me. And he said how it touched his heart to sing that song because the Lord is always standing by him. The Lord can be standing right here and we not be standing by him. Isn't it amazing that he will stand by us through thick and thin regardless of our being rebellious? See, when we start to commit sin, it proves that we're a rebellious people as the Bible tells us that we are. It says unholy, without natural affection. You know, we read in Matthew chapter 24, before the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, that people betrayed one another at a rate we see today, that they hated one another. Hatred in this country is at a level I've never seen in my lifetime. And it says the love of many will wax cold. That's what it means to be without natural affection, to not have compassion and not to be merciful. We need to be merciful to everyone that we can. You know, it says over in the second chapter, it talks to Paul is talking to Timothy. He says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. A lot of God's people oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance. Repentance just means a 180-degree turn from doing what's wrong to doing what's right. It doesn't mean go back, correct your sin. You can't fix what's already done, but we can make a change to the acknowledging of the truth. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. Most of God's people who are rebellious are under the influence of Satan. He's always been there. He's the father of lies. Go to John chapter 8. He was a liar from the beginning. He's the fathers of lies, and he knows our weaknesses. He tells us lies, and we believe lies. It's amazing how much power Satan has to affect our lives, but he does. He says over in verse 4 back in chapter 3, he says, there'll be traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Do you know anybody in this world today in the country we live in that loves pleasure more than they love God? That loves doing anything that makes pleasure to them more than they love God? Like I said, I think we're entering another one of those cycles. When he told Paul to preach the word to be instant in season and out of season. I believe we're out of season, but to continue to be faithful. And that's why I think everyone that comes, even though we're fewer in number than we might have been 5 years ago, and certainly fewer in number than we might have been 30 years ago, regardless of that, stay the path, stay the faith, contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints, as Jude said. Because it's not what everybody else is doing. Everybody else is doing something else, whatever fulfills their life at this time. He says, having a form of godliness, but not denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Many people out here declare they love God, they believe God, but they really deny the power of God to change their lives. And I believe they deny the power of God to bring judgment upon their lives. God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. It's not God's will and desire. He loves you. That judgment come in your life. But I believe that if we continue in the path we're going, God will not be mocked. He will not be deceived. For whatever we sow, we shall reap. You know, the Bible says, for your sins shall find you out. Be sure, it says. Numbers 32 and 23, be sure. But we're told over in the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 8 and verse 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed in a hurry. The hearts and the sons of men are set unto them to do evil. Because we're not struck down with lightning. Because things don't come to pass in a moment. We need to stand for the truth. Not just the truth of salvation by grace. For the truth of the entire Word of God. And we need to realize that there's always consequences for our actions in life. May God bless us to see those things. May God bless us to stand for the truth and seek the truth as we go through this journey here in this life.